Okay.
Did you turn it on?
One more time from the top.
Is it on? Oh, I turned it on. Okay. Excuse me. From the top. Two references. So, the first is Narada says, just see Uddhava, this cowherd's son, born at Govardhan, is seeking something unachievable for persons like you and me. Saying that because they're presently in Dwarka.
Mm-hmm.
Greatly agitated, he wanders here and there, never anywhere transcending the painful distress that is fixed in his heart. And in the commentary, the part that I'll just read is, why Gopakumar has such an unlikely ambition, Narada explains with the phrase, Govardhanod Bhava, born at Govardhan. And in two verses later, Uddhava says, he was born in Vrajabhumi, and there he was engaged as a cowherd, and he is firmly established in the worship of Lord Gopal. He is surely a much greater soul than you and I. In commentary, Narada has just told Uddhava that Sri Goloka is a place that he and Uddhava can hardly approach. This statement somewhat disturbed Uddhava because he disliked the implication that he himself was better than everyone else in Vaikuntha. Still, he wanted to please Narada by enlightening Gopakumar as requested. So he first gave his opinion that Gopakumar was the most spiritually advanced person present, not himself or even Narada. After all, Gopakumar was a native of Govardhan, a lifelong tender of the cows in the holy dham, and a worshipper of Sri Madan Gopal and his 10-syllable mantra. Moreover, wherever Gopakumar went, he remained dissatisfied because he couldn't find his worshipable Lord. Don't those references seem to indicate that there was some special status?
Special status?
Gopakumar had some special status.
You're talking about previous birth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're born in Govardhan and you meet a guru when you're 8 and all of a sudden you develop this intense desire to meet the Lord of the universe, then that's certainly coming from previous life. I mean, we talked about that, right?
We did, but I guess my question previously that I had asked.
Or he came, anyway, he came from, you know, Goloka. I don't know if there would be any reason for it, but that's speculation.
Well, it's obvious that he didn't take birth in Gokul where Krishna is.
Correct.
That's obvious.
Yes.
And not only that, but Krishna told him somewhere, can't remember what it was, maybe you remember what it was, we said, I came as Jayanta.
Vaikuntha, yeah.
Was in Vaikuntha.
Mm. Yeah. But it's never clear to me what it means, I came.
As Jayanta.
Yeah. I mean, many people are taking birth right now in Govardhan. They're not taking birth where Krishna's pastimes are, but, you know, by Lord Chaitanya's guidance to... Satyabhama, Jagrananda Pandit, and then also to someone else, that, you know, the Brajbasis, the residents, are on a different level of bhakti. They already have kind of spontaneous attachments, so better not mix with them too closely, because you'll get confused as to what, how they're living.
He said that to Jagadananda? Is that what you said?
I think he said it to Jagannanda Pandit when he went to Vrindavan. Yeah. He just said, stay close to Sanatana Goswami. And then he also said to somebody else, who was the one that they're told to drink molten lead, who was sort of the guardian of Nawab Hussain Shah. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nawab Hussain Shah was sort of his houseboy.
I don't remember that one. Not to mix too closely.
Yeah. So that they have. And so he's something like that. Although obviously in a time where there don't seem to be any cars around or things like that, it's not a modern time. And how he came there, that's a speculation.
Yeah.
Is this some special story? Special arrangement?
I've been just trying to think about, maybe too much, overthinking it. What was his status? You know, obviously, he was something from a previous life.
Hmm.
That's obvious.
Yeah.
Took birth. But here the emphasis is he took birth in Govardhan.
Now the other thing is that Lord Narayan says is that, well, I have to see whether it's many years or many lifetimes you neglected me. I was, kept me dancing like a puppet on a thread. So, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, just he came down, but there was a long time. In any case, it was many years, or it was many lives. So more likely that he was someone, and I came, and the Vaikuntha Dutas also say that your guru took birth as Jayanta, I don't think they say the Lord took birth, but they say your guru Jayanta took birth in the Gode on the banks of the Ganga. What was it? That means, you know, Shakshadhari, or he was directly Krishna. Certainly extraordinarily powerful, because he's got Prema Bhakti walking around on the earth, appearing and disappearing at will.
His guru.
Mm.
I would say
just absorbed. Just absorbed in Prema.
Sakshadhari.
That's first choice, yeah. First choice would be, you know, when Krishna's directly appearing for everybody is a little much.
Well, I didn't think anything's directly appearing for everybody, but that's why I was still trying to understand Gopal Kumar's special status. Potentially, it could be that he was directly appearing for him. But
it's very interesting that I, you know, I'd always been puzzled by, it's both in the Bhagavatam, I'm just thinking what canto. Because I just recently got both in the Bhagavatam and both Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says how the living entity enters into the material world, takes birth first as Brahma.
Yeah. I remember 1976 in Mayapur also. Everybody was talking about it. Were you there that year?
I was there.
Yeah, I think Hansa Duda came downstairs and he was telling everybody, you know what Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said, the word was just going around everywhere. Prabhupada said, the first birth of the material world is Lord Brahma.
Yeah. Which, yeah, well, that's when living entity, I think, actually comes into the material world. First time. That's how that's what I was going to make. That's why I've understood it now. From Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it's very clear that when he first comes in, not when he's coming from previous karmas back into the material world. In other words, you know, at the end of this creation, merge into the body of Mahavishnu, and then wherever our karma left off, we continue there in the next life.
Well, there is, it's very interesting. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very detailed description of the different types of Lord Brahmas there are. He said that some Lord Brahmas go back to Godhead. Some not only don't go back to Godhead, they merge into the Pradhan, and all those who worshipped that Lord Brahma or became qualified to achieve his abode, they go with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says some of them are fruit of workers.
Yeah.
So because then of course. When those living entities who enter into Pradhan with Lord Brahma are injected back at the time of next creation, they first appear within Brahma.
Everybody's within Brahma. Yeah.
So, you're saying that's not what Bhaktisiddhanta is saying.
Yes.
You're saying they are Brahma.
They are Brahma.
Not within Brahma.
No. Everybody's within Brahma. Everybody's within Brahma.
But what does it mean when it's described how Mahavishnu impregnates living entities into the womb of material nature. Sat Akshata Purna, what is it?
Different types of.
There's different entrances.
Yes. Yeah, there's the original. The original. Our original position. There's the original,
otherwise known as oops.
our original descent. That's at least that's when it's very clear from that O Brahma Vaishnava. That's what he's talking about, the descent of the living entity from the Tathashta Shakti, and how he enters, and then he first takes birth as Brahma. And if he doesn't elevate himself at that point, then he just keeps going down.
That's really inconceivable.
Yeah. Add it to the list.
Yeah. What does it speak of the description we read about in the different you know, Brahma lokas, Satya lokas, of Brahmins who have, I mean, the number of heads really went up into the millions, and even said billions. I was like, when I saw billions, I was wondering.
Okay, and then they all show up in Dwarka, and they're all in a bigger palatial room than this, but maybe something like this, Krishna's reception room, and they're all there together. But they don't see each other. They think that only they're there, only our Brahma saw them
because he felt like an insignificant insect in the presence of all the other Brahmas, because he's the one who had to learn a lesson.
Add it to the list. Achintya Kaluji Bhava. It's on the list.
And this, I preach this point a lot, and especially there are different references that we read about. You know, one of my favorite is the reference of how the living entity cannot ascertain his origin within the universe as long as he's under the influence of time. Because it's an event that happens outside of time. And he says, the more that we try to conceive of our origin while still under the influence of time and argue about it, it creates an artist. So he's definitely saying how that, or not maybe creates, but it perpetuates. One of the things that the living entity, and the point is made in so many places, if he wants to make progress in bhakti, he has to accept the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he doesn't, if he can't accept that,
Prabhupada repeats that many times,
then devotional service cannot be performed.
Yeah. You can't progress. It's too. And then you start looking at things mundane. Your faith can't grow. It requires faith. It means faith. Your faith is stunted.
Which means that the only way we can understand that which is inconceivable is by the inconceivable potency of the Lord.
Yeah. Although you can still try to understand.
Yeah.
Siddhanta Bhurya Chitte. In other words, it's also. So I was just reading whether it's the seventh canto, because Jai Vijay is mentioned by different people in different, well, it's by Narad, but in different places. And the Prabhupada talks about Jai Vijay, the question about how did the Yudhisthira Maharaj is asking, how could the residents of Vaikuntha fall? That's what Yudhisthira Maharaj asks, seventh canto. And so Prabhupada says, this is a very important question. And then he says something to the effect that one should investigate it, something like that. It's there in the Bhagavatam, starts off like, this is a very important question. So it doesn't say you shouldn't entertain it.
And you shouldn't argue about it.
No. Ultimately, you have to accept that, yes, it's very difficult. And of course, Narada's explanation was that this was an exceptional circumstance. Because it was John Vijay, so Prabhupada also says in those purports, there in those purports, he says that it's a special arrangement by the Lord. Just as Krishna comes, so his devotees can also come for his service. Otherwise, it's a fact. No one falls from Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
And earlier, Prabhupada says, citing Jayant Vijay, therefore on the basis of Jayant Vijay, I say that the living entity was originally in Vaikuntha.
Later?
Earlier.
Oh, earlier.
Fourth canto. Or third canto. Can't remember it. It's 2 weeks ago I read it.
It's interesting also about Lagu Bhagavatam. We were reading that last year. That the giant Vijay heard the recitation of the bards in Vaikuntha. Because the bards were glorifying Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha. And heard the glorification of how the Lord likes to come and likes a good fight.
Oh.
The bards were saying that. And it was because of that also that they wanted to come and serve the Lord in that way.
That's really nice. If I read it, I didn't remember. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a Lagu Bhagavatamrita.
Where do you remember where that was cited from?
Baladev.
Was he just saying, or?
Didn't he? I don't think he gave a reference.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, there's so much behind the stories. Bhagavatam, sometimes Shukadev is so terse in terms of describing something that unless Parikshit Maharaj actually asks him to elucidate, oh, tell me more, he just goes on. You know, he said, Hiranyakashipu tortured his son Prahlad, and he was going to go on, and then of course that was not, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj says that this is unheard of. Fathers don't abuse their children. Says Bhagavatam. Says no one's ever heard of such a thing. How is it possible for a father to abuse his son? I was just thinking of abortions and things like that. Yudhishthira Maharaj was saying, inconceivable. How is it possible? Well, to speak up for a mother, father is one thing. What about for a mother? No one has ever heard of anything like this.
So that elicited elucidation. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Then he started talking in more detail because there's so much. And there's so much to the story, and there's always histories behind the history, and that Ganguly Mahabharat shows that this happened because of that, and that happened because of that, and they go back, and it's like, okay. Achintya.
Inconceivable. It's something that's really hard for a Western mind, it seems.
Yeah.
Because the Western mind is so pragmatic.
Or brought up by the empirical system. Everything is provable or understandable.
And it's so obvious that how much energy, blood, time Prabhupada spent in destroying our faith in the Western I mean, he really.
Yeah.
He had to put great emphasis on that. Destroying our faith in scientists, in politicians, in medicine, and he really.
Yeah, we're really built up on a false foundation, and Prabhupada wanted to replace that foundation. Wanted to cut it out and then give us the alternative. In 1975, Prabhupada came through Toronto, and then from Toronto he came to Montreal. And when he was in Toronto, he was doing the fifth canto. That's when he made that statement, because, you know, it came to us direct from there. Prabhupada made that statement that when many devotees read the fifth canto, they will leave.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there are waves of people leaving, but you see, even so many academics, names not to be mentioned, devotees who really buy into the Western academic system. And it was something when I'd go visit Tamal Krishna's in Oxford, Cambridge. He was telling me, it's such a struggle. You don't know what it's like. It's such a struggle to be with these people in their conception and to try to keep my view of Krishna consciousness. And then devotees, they brought one of my hearing aids, have mixed convictions about things. Anyway, we don't need to get into it.
Yeah.
But car protection, Gurukula, education, you know.
Varnashram.
Education, Varnashram, and devotees setting off. You know, education is so important, and temple life, and being trained as a brahmachari in Brahmacharini. So it's not. That was in those days, it's not needed anymore. Brahmachari Gurukula, Vasudha, then you're a Shudra. That's what they, when you get a job, you end up being a Shudra. Licking someone's shoes. Yeah, so it's Prabhupada did those morning walks and his books. Classes probably always attacking. But Bhagavatam is even more, really, really heavy. Shukadev Goswami, Swabid Varahostra, Karayar, and so
like
many.
Like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses.
So many things of the like, just. Whereas we're raised to praise the civility, that we're the apex of humanity, of human achievement. What to speak of computers, mobile phones, and so many other things. This is evidence.
It's time.
Rather
time
than this is just yantra vidya.
Fuse has already been lit. It can't last long.
Fuse is lit. What does that analogy mean? Fuse is lit.
That our current civilization as we know it today can't last long.
Oh, you're thinking of like a dynamite fuse. Yeah. I'm thinking of a fuse for electricity.
No.
Fuse is shorting out.
No.
Yeah, the fuse is lit. fuse is lit, but devotees don't.
And it's so apparent in the story of Prithu Maharaj. You must have just read it. How Bhumi withheld all everything within herself because of exploitation.
Yeah. And it was very interesting when I was reading about, you know, Hiranyakashipu tells the demons when he heard about Hiranyaksha's death, that's how it starts. He tells the demons, you go down to earth and create all these disturbances to destroy Brahminical culture. And I was thinking, oh, they're going to go and they're going to start slaughtering and so on, but that's not what Bhagavatam says. Bhagavatam says that they cause fires, mostly fires, that they cause fires to forests, to fields, to houses, that they cause all kind of natural calamities. And other, those types of, this, it just reminded me of what's going on now. It wasn't like, you know, all of a sudden some demons appeared on the street and started killing people, destroying crops, destroying animal life, cows, systematic slaughter of cows, raising of cows. So that's what the demons did. It was very interesting. Very, very interesting. It was just really parallel to similar type of things that are going on now.
Yeah, they say, isn't it because of the cows being raised for slaughter that's causing so much of the disturbances in the ecosystem? Because they keep on, I think the deforestation is to provide more pastures for the cows are being slaughtered.
Demons. Who is Mark Zuckerberg? Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
I just read something in the news today. I don't know if it's definitely a digression, but it was pretty far out. The false news that Facebook is perpetuating. There was one article, I guess in America, to watch out for white vans. Did you see that? Men who are driving white vans are kidnapping women and raping them, and then dismembering them and selling body parts. And it was like spread throughout all of Facebook. This, and it was like creating all over America. People were actually becoming completely fearful. Women were becoming fearful, almost so much so that one mayor of the city made a local proclamation to all the residents of the city to stay away from white vans and gave all these different things. And all started through Facebook.
And, you know, when Bhagavatam says that audacity is equal to the truth, I mean, that is, you know, Mr. President, just throw anything out there, tell any lie, and just argue it and have the country just believe what you say and follow it.
Well, maybe we should get back to Gopa Kumar.
Well, have we got time? Yeah.
Yeah, we're
demons.
Yeah.
To destroy the world. So, yeah, Paritanaya Sadhana, Vinasacha Duskritam, and the holy name has descended.
Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar.
Namahaita Vasanta Jagadistana. for this purpose. Anyway, that's what I was going on about at lunch. Which we may not, I guess we shouldn't talk about it, otherwise we won't get to Gov Kumar.
It's a good discussion, though.
So, Chaitanya Charitamrita's thing, Lord Chaitanya came to give prema, and he distributed prema to even the most unqualified persons.
Yuga Dharma Pravatamu Nava Sankatan Chari Bhava Bhakti Diya Nachimu Bhuvan. I will make the whole world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four ecstatic symptoms of loving devotional service to me.
Yeah.
That was his proclamation. Krishna's proclamation. For coming again. But how much should we evaluate that statement in terms of those present at the time of Mahaprabhu? Or
like the whole world, not India. Prabhupada took it around the world, but he didn't make the whole world. Christianity is really spread throughout the whole world in one sense. Christianity, Islam, same roots. Judaism, it all comes from the same place. So they've one or else made the world dance, whatever they're about. So it's like conceivable that something like that happens. Certainly, if Kaviraj Goswami says it, then it must be true. And therefore this content about he distributed, puts it in the past tense, he distributed prema. Everyone's got prema. And that was my point. Got prema was not that, okay, you got it, but still you need something from somewhere else to really bring it about. That's one reading, but another possible reading is that you've got everything that you need to get prema, and it's all in the holy name. And then, of course, to chant the holy name purely, then that means that you need to be able to have sadhu sangha and hear the Bhagavatam and do so many things. That was Gop Kumar. Gop Kumar had to chant it in a different way. Although he was chanting purely, he wasn't chanting with emotion. It seems like that mood of separation, those chanting with this idea of getting something. Got to go to the next place.
What's that verse? Mantra Diksha Haite Bhuvanam Uchana.
You know better.
From Chaitanya Charitamrita.
That
the holy name brings one to the lotus feet of Krishna. Frees one. Of course, there's different translations of the verse.
Mantra Diksha means that the
Bhuvanam Uchana liberates one from
frees one from all sinful reactions.
Sinful reactions.
And the holy name.
The holy name of Krishna brings one to the lotus feet of Krishna.
Yeah. So it's a, Sridhar Maharaj would talk about the two circles, upper circle and the lower circle, and how the outer circle goes lower and goes higher.
Yeah.
And this one just goes to those who can actually take diksha. So it's also inconceivable. And Srila Prabhupada just seemed to have this extraordinary shraddha or faith. You just chant. Don't worry. Certainly Prabhupada didn't give us any magical formula, but Satsukh Maharaj writes that really nicely in Leelamrita, that there was no change at any point. Prabhupada didn't do anything different. Whatever he'd done before for the previous 12 years, everything just stayed the same. The teaching stayed the same. He wasn't revealing any new message or anything. He was just consistent. And so that inherent with the devotees who are chanting the holy name with faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, and initiated and reading Prabhupada's books and getting devotee association and so on, and really trying to become free from the 10 offenses, because at least you get free from that, then things move along very progressively. So then, because I just read it and it was still not at Gop Kumar. Well, who was read or heard? Yeah, describing Satam Prasangam Mamaviryo Sambhido. Shraddha Rati Bhakti Anukramishasi. Shraddha.
From Shraddha to Prema.
Means Shraddha means Nishta.
Means?
Nishta.
Nishta.
And Bhakti Vinod Thakur also says that pure faith means Nishta. And prior to that, is, you know, sometimes even called Shraddha Abbas. It's just a shadow of faith. But that actually devotional service starts here. Nishta. Nishta Ruchi Sakti. That's called really sadhana bhakti. For Goswami sort of extends it and is more sort of generous. But that real bhakti starts there, because there you're actually cultivating the positive, not just this anartha obsession that our movement has fallen into. Wasn't there in Prabhupada's time. And I wanted to mention this other point, that anyway, maybe I can bring it up at another time.
Maybe
You pressed the wrong button. Niranjan Maharaj pressed the wrong button, so the last 15 minutes or 20 minutes were not recorded. Apologies. Hare Krishna. They were good things. you have to access the Akash records to find out what it is. Haribol.
Oh, I pushed the wrong button.